Good morning again, church. All right, how are you enjoying service so far? Good. And this service bring a brother to tears. Woo, amen. Okay, as was noted, my name is Keith Allen, and I'm excited to bring the message to you all today. And you know, last week when Brother Russ called me, because I wasn't sure, this whole process, you know, when you participate in the service and planning, you have more and more respect for all that is done and takes to make this happen. And so I had some little hiccups, some things, and amen, we're here, right? So I want to say thank you, AV team, for being patient with me, and thank you, ushers, the servers, the people in the children's ministry. Thank you all for coming physically and on YouTube now, right, streaming. My Uncle Clive and the family may be on there. Unc, what's up, fam? Hey, how are you? And my wonderful family right there. You know, but I got excited when Russ said, he reminded me it's Women's History Month. I was coming home from work. I'm a lawyer. I'm so busy to get distracted, I forgot. And I said, you know, this is my new favorite month. Two of my favorite subjects, women and history, combined in one month. So, you know, this is my new favorite month. So thank you, Russ, for the reminder. But, you know, my family and I went away last weekend, and Russ did a great job to my breakthroughs. And talking about, if it was Mary and Martha, you know, focused on Jesus to break through, right, what they're dealing with, right? And, you know, this message, as it's up there, thank you, is called Great Expectations. And it derived from a struggle I had with my own expectations in my own life. And I think it's something we all can relate to. And I'm not talking about expectations like when you think you're entitled to something, right? Or someone has to perform a certain way to how you like it. It's not about that. I'm talking about everyday goals, hopes and desires, visions and desires that God places within us that are, you know, honoring to Him, whatever goals you want to achieve. And what happens when we don't get those expectations, when they're not met, right? You know, we can get distracted. We can get discouraged and want to move away from God if we already have a relationship with Him. Or we may, you know, not want to come in a relationship with God because of fear, of thinking God can't satisfy, it's over, too much time has elapsed, right? And we, you know, often those things take us on an alternate course than God intended. So I want to start with a prayer, and then I'm going to, before that, not a prayer yet, next slide, I want to, the clicker, see, I'm not used to this, so wait, here I go. Here we go. I want to highlight some women, though, that inspire me. Many women inspire me, but I just want to highlight all you women here today because women have made serious developments over the years, over time. And so on the left, I picked two areas that interest me, politics and sports. I love football, if anyone didn't know. And so on the left, we have our VP, Kamala Harris, okay? The first Asian-American vice president, African-American vice president, and Jamaican vice president. Now what is a Jamaican, you said, Keith? Is a Jamaican-American like me. So I had to highlight that, okay? On the right, we have football coach Jen Welter, okay, who is supposed to be the first woman NFL coach. She's an intern with the Arizona Cardinals. She's no longer there, still coaches football, but she paved the way to make have women have other better opportunities to higher positions on football teams. And I can't wait my lifetime, God willing, to see a woman head coach. Can I see that? Okay. I can't forget these women in my life. The three right there. And on the left are my mom and my wife. I have to leave in some confusion. I have to clear some things, clear the air here. So these two on the left, these wonderful ladies, they caused some mass confusion at the women's, the women's retreat a couple weeks ago. My wife came home, my mom came to see the house, some of the things we did. And she said, baby, you can't wait to see what happened. And I had a boring weekend, so I'm on the edge of my seat. I'm like, what happened? And she's like, Everybody said, looked at me, looked at mom, and said to Annette, is that your mother? And people are like, y'all look alike? And I'm like, listen, I'm like, yeah, kind of, sort of. And then, y'all shaped alike? I'm like, yeah, they're shaped alike. And then Annette is like, then they says, one sister said, y'all talk alike? And Annette said, wait a minute now. We sound alike? I don't think so. See, my mom comes straight from Jamaica, you know, straight. You know, but my wife is from Queens and Brooklyn, so she had to pump the brakes on that one. She had to pump the brakes. But you know what? That's so encouraging because God when two people love each other, like my mom and my wife, you see people say when you love each other, start to look alike? That's what happens, right? And on the right, I have my household. I live with two women in my household, and I'm only one man. I don't got no son, God willing. So I'm dominated. And these women drive me crazy. I love them. They pick on me, make fun of me, have my head spinning. But I know it's all love. I love y'all very much. You all make me a better man and a better man of God. So I want to highlight that. Okay. Okay. Oops, small there. Well, I think I skipped. How'd I go back? I guess you can slide back. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I guess it's the next slide. I'm sorry about that. Yes. So I have 2 points this morning, just two quick points. In order to have great expectations, when we feel like God is not doing enough, maybe, or we're down and out, things don't go the way we expected, I think with two stories of these women that we're going to highlight today in interaction with Jesus, we have to do two things. First, we have to allow God to redirect our expectations. And secondly, and we'll get to that, is we have to truly touch Jesus. And I'm going to just do a quick prayer before we get into it. Father God, we just thank you so much, God, for bringing us here today. God, I ask you to open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds, use intellectual gifts you have given us to understand this message today, God. I pray for those here, those who are on Zoom. God, maybe there's people who have a relationship with you, you don't have a relationship with you, all are welcome, God. I pray that they just hear what you're trying to say and hear what the impact you can have on our lives. God, I know you're ready, in many ways you've already had. Help us to continue to seek you, to know you, and know that you really care for us and want to have great expectations, do great things in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so the first scripture we're going to read is John 4. We're going to start off with, it's actually 1 through 26. You can turn there. I mean, y'all may be familiar with the story. Jesus talks to a Samaritan woman. Okay, so I'm going to start in verse 1. Now, Jesus learned that the Pharisee that heard that he was going to baptize with disciples in John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized with disciples, so he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. But he had to go to Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of the ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, he said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" Her disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews are not associated with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you'd have asked him, he'd have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it itself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. Whoever drinks this water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I will give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you're a prophet. Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place you must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. And when he comes, he'll explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I the one speaking to you, I am he. So there's a lot going on here. We see that Jesus has to go through Samaria, and we know that the Jews and Samaritans didn't get along, and then the Jews didn't associate with them. But Jesus does something here that I think he does to all of us, especially when we're not really necessarily following him, or we're placing our expectations in something else other than him, right? Or we may not know to do that. And this woman, you know, she's coming to this well thinking she's just going to do what she does every day, get some water, right? But Jesus exposes some things in her life that, you know, why she's with these men, I don't know, but she's going from man to man and placing the expectations in men, in this current man. We don't know why. We don't know the backstory, but something's not right. And, she clearly might indicate she's not satisfied because she had 5 marriages. So something's not right. And Jesus knows. Jesus knows everything. You know, oftentimes we're like this woman, right? Jesus comes and offers us something better for us. We get so focused on our physical needs and comfortability, we fail to see the spiritual benefits that Jesus is offering, right? You look at verse 11 and 15, right? Jesus mentioned the living water. You know, in the Old Testament, the living water was synonymous with God and his ability to quench our spiritual thirst. But she was so focused on that regular water, she got confused. She said, you know, she didn't understand the ability of living water, what Jesus was talking about. And then when he talked about in 15, how, or in 13, how, you know, everyone who drinks this water will never thirst. She's thinking, you know, she has an endless supply of water is coming. Like it's from BJ's or something. Like, what, you know, like this, give me this water. I have to come back to this place. Saves time. But that's not what Jesus is talking about here. And that's not what Jesus is talking about with us. He wants to quench our spiritual thirst, right? See, our expectations are misplaced when we solely focus on our physical needs, but not the needs to heal our soul. What are you focusing on today? You know, I'm amazed because in 15, it's like the woman's interest perked up, right? Once she found out that, oh, you could satisfy the water, I have to come back here this well and do this, you know, then her interest perked up, you know, indicating again and confirming that she's focused on the wrong thing, right? And in addition to that, she's living in her life, an aspect of life is the wrong way. She's going the wrong direction. So Jesus has to redirect her, right? And in verse 16, that's when he starts his redirection, right? Jesus just switches the conversation on her and really actually probes in her life. I should say switch. That's what he intended to do. Jesus knows what he's doing. He said, go call your husband and come back. She quickly retorted, I have no husband, right? And it's amazing what the woman tries to do here in verse 17, right? And going into even verse 19. She does the classic move of deflection. I know a little bit about that because I'm a little bit of a trickster to many of you are surprised. So now I was in my younger days, and I'm 42, oh my gosh, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, I don't know where this came from. I was a little bit devious. Mom and Nick might not know this, Sierra too. And what I would do is, if someone asked me a personal question, and you know, I didn't know about vulnerability and stuff. I was a disciple, and I didn't know about that stuff. And I was uncomfortable with it, and a personal question, you know, nothing bad. I'll be evasive. And especially to a group of people, I cause a diversion. So I had a step to this and a method. No lies, the truth. So let me give you an example. We're out to dinner. My wife Annette is here. The sister, married couple's over there. 2 married couples over here. And what I would do is, the sister would ask me something like, so Keith, why is this and that? You know, women like to go deep. And, you know, my first thing to do is I listen to the question. And I make this face like I'm interested, like, that's a good question. And I'll say that, yeah. Meanwhile, I'm stalling. I'm like, how the heck am I gonna get out of this? So I either, you know, look for something in the room that, you know, might cause a commotion, or I think about something popular in the news, you know, somebody got into a fight or whatever in the news, or, you know, I look at the sister's shoes she's wearing, you know, so let's pick, or I look at the roach in the wall. So sister's like, Keith, why is this and that? That's a good question. And then I do, after the stall, I do the diversion tactic, create excitement. You got to create excitement, right? I say, ooh, look at a roach on the wall. What, is that a roach? And people, all the commotion is started. And people are like, kill it, get it. Use a spray. And I use my shoe. All the commotion. Meanwhile, I'm sitting there like, whew, thank you, Jesus, got out of that one. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting there. I'm just laughing, smiling, like, got you, you know? I even did it with my colleagues at law school. I warned her. I said, Joe, I'm the master deflector. What happened next day, I think it's later, a couple hours later, we're in the courtyard. Joe asked me something in my group of friends. I said something. I don't know what I said. Joe totally forgot what she asked me. I said, gotcha. Joe, I told you. See? But that's what the woman did here. She deflected. In verse 19, she said, I see you're a prophet. Then she, you know, she figured she can relate to Jesus, but kind of get Jesus away from her. But you can't be Jesus. See? So talking about religious stuff, I'm religious because she knew about God, Jacob as well, and Jesus is religious. So, hey, what about that mountain? Our ancestors worship on this mountain, but Jews say worship is Jerusalem. Jesus, what you think about that? And when Jesus did like a good lawyer, because Jesus is the best defense attorney ever, Jesus said, you know what? He did that raise dismiss. Oh, yeah, I'll answer that. That doesn't matter anymore. Because it's all about worshiping in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. It's not about the place you worship. It's what heart you're coming with. So let's get back to you. Right? Jesus is the man. I love Jesus. Right? Try to change the subject. And we all do that. We have done that. Come on. Let's just be honest here. See, but this woman placed her expectations, satisfaction, and fulfillment in men. But clearly, she's not as satisfied, right? And Jesus had to redirect her to him. Because Jesus wants, just like with her, to be in a relationship with us. Jesus wants to know, why are you going that way? Right? Not to condemn us. He didn't come in to condemn. He came to save. He wants to help us. Now, if we're convicted by that and the things we do, amen, because that helps us change, right? That's the point. You know, we should do with these situations like this woman was in. We either give over our concerns to Jesus, and he'll help us with them. Are you willing to do that today? If that's tough for you, I get it. But we can get some help with that. People are here, right? You know, the lack of vulnerability, as I talked about with me, when I didn't know how to be vulnerable, causes us to lose connection or have a connection with Jesus, right? And really get close to Jesus to let him help us with our lives, right? No, but that's not enough, you see, because I don't think this woman squandered this opportunity, and honestly, because at the end, the Bible leaves us hanging. We know that finally he told her, she realized she was with the Messiah. Jesus is with us, but she was with the physical Messiah, God and man in the flesh. I think she squandered it. We don't know what happened afterwards, after that last exchange when he told her who he was, but she did have an opportunity to connect with Jesus, right? But we can't just letting Jesus direct us to himself is enough. We have to go further. We have to truly touch Jesus with our faith. We have to engage with Jesus. And so my next point, let me click over here. Point two is we must truly touch Jesus. And how do we do that? I think that's demonstrated in the story of Mark 5, 24 to 34. So if you could turn there, Mark 5, 24 to 34. And we're moving along here. I want to be respectful of your time. Okay, Mark 5, 24 to 34. So we let ourselves get redirected by Jesus to learn from him, to help him focus on what things he can help us with. But then we learn here that we got to really have faith and fight to connect with Jesus. And so Mark 5, 24 to 34, it's prefaced by a synagogue leader named Jairus who believed in Jesus and pleaded him to come to his little daughter, to his house, to heal his little daughter because she's dying. So 24 picks up, so Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. Let's see, where was it? Spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body she was freed from suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out from him and he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people, and disciples, it's funny, he said, you see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Now, I love this story, and one of my favorite parts of this story, I think it's so funny, is usually the disciples asking the most obvious question, you know, with the most obvious answer, looking foolish. But Jesus can't look foolish. See, but this is where Jesus is, he thinks higher than we think, right? So nobody's getting it. Because Jesus is walking, I can imagine him walking, you know, strong and confident, because he's Jesus, you know, with his disciples like an entourage, like a movie star, but better than a movie star. He's walking, he's walking, he's walking, and boom, he's like, Who touched me? Who is that? Now, Jesus knows who touched him, but he's human. So, you know, that's what any other human would do. You don't see someone touch you, you look around. You see, but I'm not sure if we really get what Jesus was saying. He didn't say, "Who touched me?" He said, "Who touched me?" Right? Because the woman went through a lot, demonstrated so much faith that she had the audacity and boldness to fight through a crowd and go touch the man, the goat, the Lord. What? I don't know if I would have done that. See, we have to understand where this woman's coming from. We have to stand the context of the situation. This woman's coming from being in a culture, right? And I think it's in Leviticus, it said that if you're bleeding, and we don't know if it's, you know, menstrual or uterine disorder, what it was, the Bible doesn't tell us, you're unclean. And so if you touch another Jew, then they're unclean. And that's a bad thing. So now Jesus is Jewish. You see what he's doing. And she's like, "You know what? I've spent all this money, all this treatment. I'm desperate." But just because she's desperate is not enough, because she had to have some cup of faith. And I don't know where that came from, but you know where it came from? I think I have an answer. It says, right, she heard about Jesus, right? Go back to 27, when she heard about Jesus. And I find that interesting because back then there's no Bible, there's no TV, right? We have Jesus. Jesus is interwoven to the fabric of our society. I'm surprised if anyone hasn't heard about Jesus. But some of us have heard about Jesus for a long time, and we're still not demonstrating the faith that she has. We're still not fighting for Jesus. Not only are we not fighting for Jesus, there's roadblocks sometimes to fight for Jesus, because sometimes people may look down on you. Or maybe, like this woman, we think we have so much problems, I'm not worthy of Jesus. Jesus wants to see me. Jesus has better priorities. He's got to heal this man's daughter. But that nothing could be further from the truth, because Jesus is everywhere. Jesus cares about everybody. Jesus cares about everything. And you got to fight for Jesus. You got to fight through those roadblocks, those cultural roadblocks to hold you down. You got to fight through those friends who put you down when you start searching for Jesus. And to be honest with you, maybe you might want to consider getting new friends if that's the way they look at your fight for Jesus. Okay? And so we can learn from this woman's faith. And so Jesus, when he did that, he knew who touched her. But he was demonstrating to disciples, they thought they got Jesus. They didn't even say, "Lord." They say, "Bro, you don't know who touched you?" They didn't preface it with, "Lord, bro, come on now." No, he's trying to teach. They didn't get it. He's trying to teach them and teach the woman about true faith, that you got to fight for it. You got to truly touch Jesus, right? Let me ask you this question. Something about that touch was impactful. And it's not the way she touched him. It's not, I don't think, how she grabbed his cloak. Jesus felt the faith that she came with. Is Jesus feeling your faith today? You got to make him feel it. You see, I like what Leslie said. Love is an action word, right? Well, faith is an action word too, partially. Part of it's action. And Jesus wants you to fight for him. Right? He's not going to hand it to you. Jesus doesn't force himself on people. It just doesn't work, because we all be robots, right? Christianity, he wants a genuine relationship with you. You see, the woman could have made another choice. This could have been a different story. It could have made the Bible. The woman could have said, "You know, I'm going to let my problems keep me from Jesus." But she didn't do that. She didn't let anybody keep her from approaching him. So come to Jesus for your problems. Fight to touch him and have a relationship with him. Now, I want to talk about some themes here that we can learn from these two women. And the main common theme that I can pull, there might be many themes you can pull out, is this fact that element of time. And, you know, time is an expectation killer. And I know a little bit about things taking time. And, you know, I used to struggle and complain to God, complain to Jesus, why is everything taking so much time? Why am I still single? Why am I not married yet? Why is my law career in shambles and taking so long? Right? I'll never forget, I was at Citigroup. My boy, attorney Danan Singh, shout out to Danan, said, bro, Keith, I got this job, bro. You could be an axe murderer and let you in. I'm like, okay, I'm an axe murderer. I was broke, took the job. Went to my interview, showed her I wasn't an axe murderer, got in. And my supervisor, who also a CUNY law grad, Supervisor Mike, you know, one day during my time there, he said, Keith, you know, how long since you've been graduated? I said, 7 years. Told me straight to my face, wow, you need to be mean. He said, 7 years? You'll never practice law. I didn't know how to take that. I wasn't offended. I was just like, wow, okay. But I didn't accept it in my heart. I said, no, Mike, in my heart, you're not God. You know, you tell me I can't practice. Don't let anybody tell you you can't do anything. If anyone tells you can't do anything, let it be, obviously, the law. Don't break the law now, or Jesus. That's it. And to tell you, Mike, I love you, brother, but you're wrong. I am practicing law. And been practicing law for 5.5 years. You see, because these women had to deal with time. This woman and the bleeding woman struggled for 12 years. That's a long time. That's a lot of heck can happen in 12 years. The other woman, we don't know the time she's dealing with this man, but she's had 5 different husbands. That must be some time. And a new man, that's a lot of time. Time is one of the most determining factors that frustrates us with unmet expectations. When things don't happen in our time, we get discouraged and lose faith, right? But we gotta remember, if we do the things like let Jesus redirect us, right, and touch Jesus and engage with him, he can take us further than we can ever imagine despite the time. He can accelerate things in ways you can never imagine. And I wanna end with this. You know, the great example of a person dealing with expectations, it goes back to Jesus. You see, because Jesus is the great high priest, not only can he make miracles for us, but he can relate to some of the things he went through. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and I talked about this in the community a few years ago, he had expectations. He brought his friends with him, you know, and he said, keep watch, because I'm in my most precious moment, I'm praying. And they fall asleep on him, right? And he went back, and he said, you're still sleeping. Then he went back again, and he's like, that's when Jesus said, you know, he realized, the Son of God realized, I gotta rely on God. I can't even always rely on my friends. Like, this failed me. So Jesus knows, right? We have a guy who knows what it feels like to not get the expectations met, right? And then even with the Jews, they had expectations. They thought Jesus would be a warrior leader, overthrow the Romans, stop us from this oppression. And that Jesus dying on the cross wasn't what they expected. It wasn't what the disciples expected. Let me tell you this, though. From Jesus rising from the dead and establishing a different kingdom, a kingdom of the heart, a kingdom of spirit and truth, it changed the world forever. And he way outdid all their expectations. So if anything, we should pattern ourselves after Jesus. And we should look to these women and these messages that have been given us to inspire us, to encourage us. I'm sorry. Take that back. I'm sorry about that. So what do we do here? Today you might be in a relationship with Jesus. Today you might say, Keith, you know, I like the message what Jesus was saying, but I'm really into that Jesus thing. That's cool. Nobody's trying to force anything on you. What I want to say is this. I want to keep it simple for you all this morning, because Christianity is tough. It can get it complicated, but it's worth it to me. And all we do is be givers of opportunity. All I am is a messenger. So I want to say this, go after your goals. Go after that PhD. Go after that JD. Start that business. Start that nonprofit. Go to the military. Do all the things that you've been doing. Because as long as it's honoring God, as long as it's hurting anybody else, it's legal, it's good, God wants you to do that, right? Go get that job. Whatever it is, I don't know. Go take that sister out on a date. Take that brother out, right? But don't settle for less. Don't settle. Jesus wants something better for you, right? And so what we got to do, we got to go on a road trip. Who likes road trips? On a road trip with Jesus. And you see Jesus up there with the beard, all right? Happy. You see the kids? Right? You see the trailer in the back of the kids with the hat? Go on a road trip with Jesus. The best way to go on that road trip with Jesus, study the Bible. Like the woman, she just heard about Jesus, immediately acted on faith. Some of us heard about Jesus, but have you investigated Jesus? Jesus wants you to question him. You know, it's a fundamental principle of law. Whoever asserts the claim has a burden of proof. Well, Jesus made a lot of bold claims. It's not for you to prove it. Go see. Study the Bible. And so when you go on this road trip, you say, Keith, I don't want to give Jesus the keys. I don't want to make him Lord yet. That's fine. Because God, you don't have to give yourself over to God yet, having an impact on your life. God can work through anyone, anytime, anywhere. So I want you to, go pull over that highway, invite Jesus into your car. And he's going to take you places. He's going to take you rough terrains. He's going to take you mountain highs, valley lows. But he's going to introduce you to some people you never seen before, have experiences that you never had before, right? Teach you things you never learned before. Then you might get annoyed with Jesus. Might want to kick him out your car. But please don't do that to Jesus. I mean, come on now. Let's respect Jesus, right? So you might want to, ask him politely, Jesus, can you politely leave? But you know what? Jesus is so cool. He's so merciful. You're like, sir or ma'am, I'll gladly leave. No problem. Here are the keys. But I invite you not to do that. What I want you to do is let him direct you to himself. Let him teach you. Learn from Jesus. I'm not saying to make him Lord tomorrow. I mean, time is short. We don't know what tomorrow promises. But you don't be in no rush. But just be kind of make it a priority. Because does not Jesus warrant our investigation? Has he not affected our society enough? Right? Doesn't he warrant an investigation? And after you let him direct you, what's going to happen if you do it with your heart, you do it with spirit and truth, you do it with integrity and vulnerability and transparency, you know what's going to happen? Jesus is going to pull you over to the side. And he's going to say, you mind if I take the keys and take the wheel? And you're going to say, if you did what I think you did, and you're thinking with your heart and you're honest, you're going to say, yes, Jesus, take the wheel. And when he takes the wheel, he's going to go back on the road. He's going to take you to the mountain highs, the valley lows, the rough terrain, the storms, all the things that come with life, no matter you're Christian or not. That's just the way life is. And you're going to see some amazing things happen. You're going to see him outdo all your expectations. Because that's what he did in my life. Because I didn't think I was going to get married one day. And I got a beautiful wife and a beautiful stepdaughter. I didn't think that I'd have a law career. But I have a career in my own business. I didn't know that was coming. But it was because I let Jesus direct me. And I touched Jesus. I engaged with Jesus. So let's take a road trip with Jesus. And I guarantee you, this will happen. I can't promise today that you get everything you want. Don't get fooled. No one gets everything they want. That's not true. I see you see these movie stars and all this stuff. No, they don't. They got money. They don't have everything they want. Jesus, if you do this and follow the message that Jesus said today, I guarantee you this, and I'll end with this. That you get what you need, you get even more. And like Ephesians 3:20 says, he'll do more and immeasurably more than you can ever ask or imagine. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have great expectations. God bless you all, and thank you for your time.